Hi, everybody. I'm Melissa. I'm a compulsive overeater, food addict, and 100-pounder. And I'm sighing because I am a walking, talking, breathing miracle. Some numbers and whatnot. I've been in the rooms. I always have to look and do the math for 32 years. In March of this year, I celebrated 29 years of, I like the word sobriety, you guys, food sobriety. To me, it's more hard-hitting than the word abstinence, but whatever you call it, it's still a miracle. So I've got some pictures, and I really do need to scan these. Let's see if you guys can see these. That gives you an idea of who I was and how I lived and how it looked before I got here. So I'm going to talk real briefly about what it was like, because I'd really rather talk about what it's like now. And some of what I've learned along the way in hopes that it touches somebody or helps somebody, right? So I have a really ugly childhood history. I come from a lot of trauma and physical abuse in my house at the hands of my dad. And, eating made that better. I don't blame my parents for this. I don't blame anybody for this. I just know that I have this thing. I was sort of born with it. I'm really tall. I'm 5'11". And so that's just something that happened too, right? I mean, these are just things that happen. And to anybody who's struggling and hates that they have it, if you're like me, maybe it saved you at a time when there was nothing and no one. And it really did. My first memory of eating and lying about it, I was 4 years old, and my mom had baked something, and I have a shadowy memory of it being on the counter, and I pulled a chair up to the counter and I gouged out the top of it. And I remember in my little 4-year-old mind thinking, this is a masterpiece. Nobody is going to ever know that I did this. Well, of course, my mom knew. And she asked me, Melissa, do you know anything about the blah, blah, blah on the counter? And I said, oh, maybe the mousies ate it. So I already knew when I was 4 years old that I had to lie about this thing. I already knew. And it progressed. It's progressive, you guys. It's progressive. And I was normally weighted in elementary school. I started to put on weight in junior high and high school, and I had to eat. I had to eat. And I never once thought for a minute that it was going to solve any of the problems. But I liken it to going into open heart surgery. You can do that awake and feel everything, or you can be put out and not care what they do and not feel anything. So I was option B. I just didn't, I couldn't feel. I had no tools to feel and to see and to know and to be in what was going on when I was younger. And it saved me. I really believe it saved me. I believe it also saved me from drugs and alcohol, because quite frankly, can you name food in this meeting? Can you? Okay. Quite frankly, an extra large pizza and a sheet cake is all I need. I don't need, why would you take drugs or drink? I've got everything I need right here, and it works, and it's fabulous. Well, fabulous. Anyway, so you guys get the picture. Like, I know what it is. I know what it is to eat out of the trash. I know what it is to hide and lie, sneak and steal and cheat. I know what it is to get up in the morning and say, I'm gonna get on the diet. I'm gonna get on with it. I'm gonna have willpower, and I'm going to have motivation. And I know what it is to be 10 o'clock in the morning and that's out the window. And I do that every day and every day and every day. And then it stopped working. Or I should say, and then the time that it worked got shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter until it didn't work. And how scary that is for an addict when your drug of choice doesn't work. And I didn't have the vocabulary, the words to say, to know what was going on. I just knew it wasn't working and I was terrified. But I kept eating, because if a lot of food doesn't do it, then a lot of food, that must be it. I'm not taking enough medication. So I found myself in a meeting. I'm from Southern California right now. I live in Northern California. And how cool that people are all over the place. That's just the coolest thing. And I found myself in a meeting. I was in Santa Monica in the basement of a church. And all I remember was the speaker was a woman and a microphone at a podium, and she said that she ate out of the trash. And there were 30 or 40 people in the audience, and they nodded their heads. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I just couldn't believe it. for so many reasons. First of all, that somebody would say that out loud, because I was never going to say that I did that, ever. And then that there were people in the audience who were nodding their heads.
15 minutes.
Thank you. And that was a particular offshoot of OA that didn't appeal to me because it was really rigid. However, I heard enough to keep coming. So I found my way to, I'll call it regular OA, and I was dieting with group support. If you're doing that, I offer that it probably doesn't work. I found myself in a relapse, and then 29 plus years ago, I was blessed with this sobriety. I really want to talk about the foundation points of my recovery. These are the things that save my life. These are what I'm about to share with you. I mean, take what you like, leave the rest. I will first say that blanket statement. And I'm going to jump all over the place, so bear with me, okay, guys? And I'm going to probably talk super fast, faster than I'm talking now, because I want to share it. Maybe it will help somebody. So I hear people talk about the three-legged stool, emotional, physical, and spiritual. And that implies to me that each of those is equally weighted. And my experience is that they're actually not. My experience is that it's more of a pyramid, and the base of the pyramid has to be the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And I'll make a note about this, because I've found this to be really important for my recovery. I do not have to have faith or trust or belief in a higher power. Those are the results of my seeking. The only thing I need to do, the only thing I can control, if you will, is the seeking. I must seek my loving higher power every single day. Asterisk, even and especially when I don't want to, because that likely indicates that I need to. That's the base of my pyramid. I don't have to have faith or connected. Because my question would be, well, if you don't have faith, what, the program doesn't work? No. All I have to do is seek. It is in the seeking that I find, even if I don't feel it in the moment. The middle part of the pyramid is the emotional recovery. I have done a lot of reading, a lot of writing, a lot of journaling, a lot of step work. And I also have been blessed with incredible therapists. I'm working with my current trauma therapist, who helps me a great deal. It's all that uncovering, discovering that we do. The top of the pyramid has got to be the physical. I have a food plan. I refer to it as my zoo food plan. I eat the same sort of thing at the same time every day. That works for me. I recognize it doesn't work for everybody. It's worked for me. Even when I binged on the same things. I've never been one to seek variety, so it does work well for me. I've been with my sponsor, a blessing in my life, for 29 plus years. I commit my food in the morning. I bookend it in the evening. I weigh and measure my food. I'm not in one of those programs, but I need to have what I refer to as food fences. Because if you tell me that I can have a chicken breast the size of my palm, you didn't tell me how tall it can be. And so I will stack 20 of them on top of each other. If there's a loophole, I will drive a Mack truck through it. So I don't measure my food, because, as I've often said, I can get a cow in a 1 cup measuring cup. Because the truth is, we're all engineers, aren't we? We know how to go to a salad bar and build a plate. Like, we're like structural engineers. And so I need to weigh my food. And even when I'm home, I weigh everything. I even weigh my vegetables. I even weigh my salad. Because if you tell me that I can have unlimited X, I will eat unlimited X. I really, really will. And weighing for me is a way of peace. I know it's not for everybody. And I exercise, and I do Pilates, and I do these things on a daily basis, blah, 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 blah. So the base is spiritual, followed by emotional, followed by physical. When my pants are tied, I want the physical to be the base of the pyramid. It doesn't work like that. It has to sit for me on the other two layers. So there's that. I believe and have seen repeatedly that there is a formula for recovery, and I guarantee you it works every moment of every single day. And this is the formula. It is always my footwork, regardless of how I feel about it, and I'll talk about it in a minute, plus God's incredible grace equals healing, a good life, and recovery. My footwork, regardless of how I feel about it. I will once again say, take what you like, leave the rest. I don't care about willingness. I really don't. I love when I have it. It makes things easier, no question. But how many things do we do on a daily basis that I'm completely unwilling to do? Before this meeting, I went out and took my out. I walk outside and I also walk on a treadmill. So I did my outside walk. It's raining. I didn't feel like it. I was completely unwilling to do it. And you know what I did? I put on my shoes and my sober feet walked out the door, and my not feeling like it just came with me. It's very portable.
10 minutes.
And so I did that. And guess what? When it was done, I got to check the box. And I was completely unwilling to do it. Sometimes the willingness follows the action, sometimes it doesn't, but either way, I have to take the action. If I wait to be willing, I'll wait 1,000 years, because the only thing I'm willing to do is lay in bed, hide, and stuff my face. That's all I'm willing to do. So my footwork, regardless of how I feel about it, plus God's incredible grace, all the things I can't explain. I can't tell you why I haven't had birthday cake in 29 years. I can't tell you how that's even possible for somebody like me, who's a gutter eater. A large sheet cake and an extra large pizza after driving through the bunch of drive-throughs on the way home. Just stick with food. I keep eating because I don't have a mechanism that says stop. The grace of who I am today and where I am today. When I got here, I was agoraphobic. I couldn't leave the house. I couldn't hold a job, and I dropped out of school. Today, I'm a controller for a company. I'm a CPA, and I show up, even and especially when it's hard. I show up. And you know, guys, there are hard days. Today's a bit of a hard day. I have seasonal affective disorder. It's cloudy and rainy over here, and I'm having a bit of a hard day. But you know what? I show up anyway. It doesn't matter. So the best analogy I have for all of this is very simply this, and I'm not a sports person, but I can share this. So a baseball pitcher has to pitch a big game. Everything to the point where the ball leaves his hand is his business. It's his action. It's all the practice and warming up and whatever all else a pitcher does before a game. It's getting to the game, it's walking up to the mound, and it's throwing the pitch. The moment the ball leaves his hand, it's no longer his business. Maybe it goes the way he wants, and maybe it doesn't. Maybe wind knocks it out of alignment. I don't know. Maybe the batter gets a home run and he didn't want that. I don't know. But I'm responsible for throwing the pitch, even and especially when I don't want to. Even and especially when I don't want to. So that is my analogy, and that is the formula that I use for recovery. Because you see, you guys, this is a life or death program for me. I'm an addict, an absolute gutter addict. And I believe that the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous speaks to every addiction under the sun. I just reach for something different. I reach for food. Somebody else reaches for alcohol or coke. It doesn't matter what I reach for. My mind is the same as an alcoholic. I am an alcoholic drug addict with food. And so I need to take my daily medicine. This is my daily medicine. And it's a life or death program for me, because I recognize that if I pick up today, I am gone. And what does gone look like? Gone looks like I can't show up for work and I won't care. I can't show up for my relationship of 29 years and I won't care that I'm hurting him or hurting me. It's always I can't show up for X and I don't care. Because the only thing that I care about when I'm in its clutches is getting my drug of choice, which is food. I don't care who I lie to, who I cheat, who I steal. I don't care how I humiliate myself. I don't care what I have to do to get it, because I am an addict with food, and I will do anything to get my food. And before I got here, I got into a lot of financial trouble with credit cards, because don't you know that I need my food? I need my food more than I need to pay my rent. I need my food more than I need to pay my electricity and whatnot. And right as I got into program, I was actually fired from a job because, in the throes of my eating disorder, I was in charge of petty cash. And here's my thinking: oh, the petty cash is in my drawer, it's my money. And I really thought that. And when I say that right now, it sounds completely insane, but you know what? When I'm in it, sounds completely rational. I will lose everything. And I was brought here suicidally desperate. If I pick up today, I will go right back to that. And I don't believe I have another recovery in me. I've heard it said many, many times, the door will always swing out. My door will not swing back. I will not come back. And I will die either at my own hand or at the hands of another 300 or 400 or 500 pounds. Don't let the packaging fool you, you guys. I'm a compulsive overeater, as sure today as I was when I walked in the rooms. My favorite flavor will always be more. That is my favorite flavor. More. Give me more. More, more, more. I remember when I was in person at a previous job,
Five
and
minutes.
I would thank you. I would say that I went to such and such restaurant, and they would say, "How's the food?" And this is my answer. They don't give you very much, or they gave you a lot of vegetables. I liked it. I don't react normally. I am never, ever, ever in my lifetime going to be normal with food. I am a pickle. I will never be a cucumber ever. I want to talk a little bit about prelapse, and I will actually put a link in the chat. It's from this. There was a workshop from the Overeaters Anonymous Silicon Valley chapter about prelapse. Relapse is a scary thing, but scarier than that, I need to be watching for prelapse. And prelapse is where the edges of my program fray. Oh, I don't really feel like calling my sponsor today. Oh, I'm not going to go to that meeting today. I went yesterday. Oh, I'm not going to do service. Oh, it's all the areas, the seemingly small areas where I just say, I don't feel like it. And those areas, if I string enough of them together, I will find myself in relapse. I will put the workshop in the chat, and it is OA approved. It's from OA Silicon Valley. So I've got to be looking for prelapse, and my experience is everybody, including myself, prelapses. I'm doing my prayers in the morning and I'm rushing through them because I'm late for work. I do that. Or in the evening, especially, I'm challenged sometimes because I'm a procrastinator and I put off my God time till the very last minute. And I only have a minute to do my meditation. It's all those things. So I've got to be aware of where I'm prelapsing. We talk about food neutrality. But my question is, what do you do on a day when you're not food neutral? So I need something bigger than food neutrality. What I need is food protection. So I have food protection. That's what I have, even and especially on the days I'm not neutral. Food calls sometimes, you guys. Food is loud sometimes. It is. My ego doesn't want me to tell you that, but that is the truth. There are days when it's really loud. And so I need food protection. And I better get on the phone with somebody or text somebody and say, hey, the food is loud today. I can't keep that to myself. Hiding, lying, all that shame. No, there's no place for it. There could be no place for it in my program today. I have to tell somebody what's going on. And I want you guys to know that there is nothing perfect about this sobriety. Nothing is perfect about it. There are days when I eat more. Usually it's vegetables. There's days when I eat more. There are days when I push a meal way off. There are those days. There are days that are eat. I used to talk to a sponsee about there are days when I fly, and there are days when I crawl, and some days I soar.
Two
You guys
minutes.
have walked me through 29 years of life. You've walked me through my dad dying. You've walked me through. And he's basically okay now. You walk me through my guy being in a head-on collision, being in the hospital for a month and the rehab for a month. And I called you guys at 12:30 in the morning when I was driving home because I needed to talk to somebody. And you guys took those calls. All the seemingly small actions, the kindnesses that have been extended to me over the years that I'm certain people have forgotten about, those are the things that, have led to my recovery in this day. So if you're struggling, please don't leave. Please don't leave. Please tell one of us. We've either thought it, done it, said it, or imagined it. I really think that there is nothing new under the food sun. There's just not. This is where I come to be 100% authentic. When I say that food is loud today, that's all I need to say in these rooms. I can't say that to a normal person. They don't understand. Just as I don't understand my guy who says things like, I'm full, that's too sweet, there's too much frosting. I don't even know what that means. But he isn't wired like me. And I'm not wired like him. I will never understand it because it will never be my experience. There's difficult days, you guys. I'm not going to lie to you. Some days sobriety is really painful, and some days it is glorious, and there's days in between. But I'll take this way of life. It's the only way for me to live. It's the only way that I can live my life today is, using the principles of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. It is life-saving, life-changing, life-giving. It is simple. It is not always easy. Some days, like I said, I'll wrap this up. Some days are really difficult, and some days aren't. And I know that you were walking this road together, and I couldn't do it without you all. Thank you guys. I think it was Susan who asked me. Thank you, whoever asked me. I think it was might have been Susan. I'm not sure. Anyway, thank you for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope. And I wish you guys blessings and peace. Thank you.